Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now, if you are looking for a new podcast, our pod squad are here to separate the gold from the rubbish. And today we're talking about peak danger.
What does it feel like to stand on top of the world? In the summer of 2008, 18 climbers found out when they reached the peak of the second tallest mountain on Earth, K2.
The most beautiful mountain in the world.
The queen of all mountains.
I can see the summit of the mountain I'm standing on as a big shadow towards China. All around me there are glaciers and mountains, as long as I can see. And the sky is this warm blue color.
They can even see the curvature of the Earth. But K2 is more than just a pretty face.
K2 is a very different mountain.
The mountain is very much alive.
It's well known for being dangerous.
Sometimes it shakes, sometimes it roars.
Rock falls, avalanches.
It can trigger at any moment. Russian roulette.
My pod squad this afternoon, Today FM, Shelley Gray and host of the No Encore Music Podcast, I should say. Dave Hanratty, thanks a million to you both for joining us. Shelley, what is this about?
Oh, this is an 8-part series from BBC Sounds. And it's about a couple of Norwegian newlyweds. So Cecilia Skog and Rolf Bay and 29 other climbers from different countries, different expedition groups, who back in 2008 climbed K2. But then there was a disastrous ending for a lot of them who were descending. Really, really tragic outcome. 11 climbers lost their lives. So it basically describes it from the very beginning, from, you know, their time walking to base camp to their time spent at base camp and then to just basically everything that went wrong in the couple of days that they were making their summit push.
This is obviously a Shelley Gray recommendation, is it?
I feel like I'm a broken record coming on your show, Andrea. Yeah.
Well, you
know,
well,
talking about mountains.
You are, like Dave, listeners to this programme, Shelley's been with us. Shelley is, you're a fairly accomplished mountaineer.
Extreme sports enthusiast is the vibe I'm getting.
Mental is the word I'd use. But,
yeah, that's probably more like it. I'm howling. No, I've done Everest Base Camp, not Everest, and Kilimanjaro. So I'm not quite in the 8,000 metre mountain yet, not quite in the death zone, but who knows?
Right.
Sorry, can I just say, in the waiting room, she did say, I've just done Everest. I've just gone. Kilimanjaro. I was like, okay.
I haven't even done Ben Bulbin. Like, do you know what I mean? So,
oh my God, Andrea, we have to fix
the Northwest, I know. Right. If you're not a mountaineering enthusiast, how do you feel about this, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I'm not a mountaineering enthusiast, it's that I'm terrified of such a thing happening.
Heights,
so, yeah, and this kind of stuff. I find the psychology of the people who do this, Shelley included, to be so fascinating. And that's kind of what I wanted to get from this the most. But I think it's interesting because, like, you know, as a podcast producer, I should never say the following words: hey, some things don't work for podcasts. And I'm not sure if this does, because, first of all, it's such a visual thing, isn't it? I mean, like you think of the documentaries that you've seen and the imagery that you've seen of these mountains and the gear and the ascent and so on and so forth. And you kind of heard there in the clip, you know, you did hear the human interest element of it. You do hear people who've gone through this experience and them taking you back into it. So I think you are, like, I think this podcast kind of exposes the limitations of certain podcasts. I think if you are maybe brand new to this world of, you know, extreme danger, as it's called, it could be, you know, an easy fit for you on the way in. But I just found myself constantly thinking, I was like, why isn't this a documentary feature film? Which I know is, you should never say, oh, let's not review what it isn't, let's review what it is.
Yeah.
But I did find myself being like, something's missing here.
So I only listened to 2 of the 8 episodes.
Yeah.
And I felt we didn't really get into anything.
Well, firstly,
sell it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to disagree with, you know, that it doesn't, you know, give you a visualization. I think the sound is so immersive. The storytelling is really, really engaging. The narrator is an American historian, Natalia Melman-Pertzella, if I'm pronouncing that right. I think she's brilliant at basically making you feel like you're on the mountain. So I've had the opposite experience to you, Dave. Just even from the audio of the avalanches and the seracs like crumbling and falling, there's actually original audio, or what would you call it? Audio
captured.
From the climbers themselves, because some of them actually went out there to do a documentary on the climb of K2. So there is original audio of basically really, really sad audio actually of people falling to their death and of avalanches, etc. So I actually had the opposite experience.
But it is mixed with the production flourishes though. Like the sound, as you say, the sounds of cracking and the sounds of, you know, like gear falling and so on. And,
yeah.
And I found myself kind of being taken out a little bit. And again, not to get too inside baseball, but that could be because, you know, I work on podcasts. So like, I'm aware of the sounds that are used and so on. But like, it's made by BBC Sounds, and like we were actually just discussing off mic how high their quality often is. And, like,
I love their stuff.
They've got a massive pedigree, and I think I did expect more from them. It sounded a little low rent to me at times, which and I have to disagree again further. I found the narrator distracting. I thought her delivery was a bit too upbeat, a bit too jovial, a bit too almost overly familiar and casual considering the subject matter. It's hard. It's hard to kind of settle on, well, what exact kind of narrator do I want here?
Yeah.
But I kind of think you need something a bit kind of colder.
You see, I sort of felt that I would have thought nearly two episodes in, I'd have had a fairly good grasp of what was going to happen in this story. And I didn't.
Yeah, so it kind of starts on the mountain and then it goes back to that girl, Cecilia, and how she met her husband, Rolf, and, you know, how they got into mountaineering and how they ended up getting married. And this was basically their honeymoon, was the K2 summit. But I think if you keep going with the podcast, you'll kind of get into it. Now, maybe again, I'm biased,
because I come from a sort of a news background, I'm the kind of, you need to catch me at the beginning.
Right,
if I'm not gripped at the start, I'm gone. Good luck.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened here, is that I didn't get the bug for this at the beginning.
Same for me. You know? Yeah, you're talking about the classic inverted pyramid style of giving the information.
Here's what happened, and now we walk backwards.
And the thing is,
let's build up.
It's interesting with a subject matter like this, because we can't lose sight of the fact that we're talking about real people. We're talking about a real tragedy that happened, and people have lost their lives. So you got to be very, very careful in that regard, especially when you're working with people who came back home and are telling their story. You got to be sensitive about these things. I kept thinking about a Netflix documentary called The Deepest Breath, which came out, I think it was 2 years ago now, about freediving, and how in that film you do have this kind of narrative reveal withheld for half the film, and then it's revealed that here's what happened. You can kind of guess in your head. This is kind of doing something similar. And while it does raise all kinds of ethical questions, the reality is you have to grab, as you say, you have to be grabbed. And I think that this, I agree with you, I think this held back for way too long.
Okay. Now, tell me in the remainder of the podcast, Shelley, that I haven't heard, right? Who do we hear from throughout this? Like, I mean, if you weren't the enthusiast that you are, in this area, would people be impressed with the guests on this, or who do we hear from?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You hear from the survivors, those who managed to survive what was a disastrous climb. Like, it's one of the worst disasters in Himalayan history. And they give their own individual accounts of what they saw from their perspective. So from people who are high up in the, what they call the bottleneck. So this is the really narrow passage where you have this big ice serac that's, you know, overhanging the climbers. And this is the real danger zone, because that serac is likely to crumble and fall. And basically, if it falls, it's going to kill you if you get hit. So it gives the perspectives of people who managed to summit successfully and descent successfully, and then from people who turned back, who could see the disaster happening in front of them. There was one guy who's a doctor, and he radioed to everyone because he had seen pictures of the serac, you know, 2 weeks before the climb. And then when he was faced with it in reality, he was like, this is completely different to the pictures I saw 2 weeks ago. So he was like, this is not good. We are all in danger. So he radioed to everyone, you know, get back, get out of the serac, you know, because they were taking too long, or get out of the bottleneck. And nobody replied. One person replied, who was one of the Korean guys, I think. He was like, no, we're fine. And that was it. Whereas other people were like, oh, no, we didn't actually hear that warning. But it's just, it's disaster. It's really, really sad.
Is it a hard listen throughout?
It is a hard listen, but also it's a really, really interesting listen. And actually, there's an Irish climber involved, Ger O'Donnell. He's from Limerick, and unfortunately, he lost his life as well. And there's a really great description of two of the Koreans who, at one stage on the descent, they became tangled up in their ropes. And Ger and an Italian climber were coming down. They saw them. They spent 3 hours in the death zone trying to untangle the Koreans. And then eventually, the Italian guy was like, you know, I'm going to lose my life as well. So he went, which you can't blame him. But Ger O'Donnell, the Irish guy, stayed with the Koreans. He actually went up further in the mountain to try and, I don't know the technical term for it, but basically he's trying to clip the ropes onto something else. And anyways, he ended up freeing the Koreans, the two Koreans, but eventually an avalanche came and the three of them were wiped out. But I think it's a really, from you know, the Irish perspective. I think it's a really nice story, if that's the way to describe it, of, you know, just the character of Joe O'Donnell and how caring he was. He could have went with the Italian guy and saved himself.
My God. You obviously had heard of this story, though.
I heard of the story, but had never listened to the podcast. Well, it's only a new podcast, actually,
Were you familiar with this?
In passing. I mean, I think that aspect of it, though, is very interesting because the psychological element of why anyone would do this in the first place, like apart from just, you know, just chasing danger and wanting to kind of, I guess, live an extraordinary life. But I mean, you know, it raises questions about if you've got kids back home, you know, is this the right thing to do? And I think that the podcast could have interrogated that more. There is actually, I will say there isn't, because I feel like I'm just saying nothing but negativity here. There's an excellent episode which focuses on the Sherpas, the guides, the locals who you hire if you're a Westerner and you go over there and so on, and how, you know, I think particularly in literature and fiction, you have people have a tendency to kind of exoticize these people. But actually, while yes, you may well have a Sherpa who loves climbing and lives for it, but oftentimes you have someone and it's just a job for them. It's a way of supporting their family. And for them, it's an unemotional thing completely. And if anything, they're incentivized by the prospect of getting more money if you have a very, very successful and completely safe up and down and so on. And also the nature as well of, I guess, having no time at all to make a decision, and you accept that you are going up and you may not come down, and you may have to just cut the rope of one of your best friends, and that's it. And you just move on mentally, and that's
certainly
how you get
raises
through.
Questions for sure. And as somebody who is, I know, you know, you have more mountains in your sights, Shelley, this year.
Yeah.
Like, is it frightening from that perspective, thinking that you might do something similar?
It is frightening.
As an expedition, I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Like, I remember when I did, like, Everest base camp, I should say, not actual Everest. I came back thinking, why on earth would you want to climb or summit actual Everest, like this Everest at the time? But now that I've done Kilimanjaro, there's something addictive, and I can't put my finger on it, like what it is. There's just something addictive about high altitude experiences and adventures. So I will do Aconcagua at the end of the year, but I'll see after that. I think I'd like to go higher again.
Many,
I hope my parents aren't listening.
Yeah. How many stars out of five, Dave?
For all the aforementioned criticism, unfortunately, it's 2.5. And
what
I will say on that note, though, is I'm looking forward to hearing Shelley's podcast.
Because yes.
When that happens,
yeah,
I'm sure
it
will be a superior production to this one.
How many stars out of five?
Oh, man, that was the wrong answer, Dave. I'm giving it 5 out of 5.
There we go. Yeah. What? Like that is a very, very vast differential today. Our Pod Squad, thanks a million as always. Today, I'm Shelley Gray, host of the No Encore Music Podcast, Dave Hanratty.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.